was amazing. I'm not sure I can think of that, but he summed up a lot of what I'm thinking. I was thinking about who Joe was, and I just came up with it. Well, I was thinking of the song, "They Shall Know You Are Christians by Your Love." It's paraphrasing John 13:35. "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And that's, for me, who Joe was. He was a witness to me to how to live and be a Christian by how he loved, and with what depth and what passion he loved. And we moved to Hillingdon in 2016. We found ourselves blessed enough to live around the corner, or some distance from Joe and Cat. They could look into my garden and other rooms. I'm not sure they share any more than that, but that was fun. Naturally, I don't think you would have put Joe and myself together in a room and said, "There you go, that's a friendship right there." But it turned out to be a great friendship. I think what's really impressive for me is that my whole family holds special memories of Joe. Joe was inclusive. Each of my family loved him, and each of them have special memories of Joe. Joe taught Miriam how to play poker. He also taught Sophia. That concerns me more. He told them stories. Stories of his youth. That's what she remembers. Gabriella remembers playing during lockdown, playing water polo in the lodges. I'm not going to say paddle pool, but it's a very big swimming pool. But there's, I can't remember, maybe 20 of us playing water polo with kids in there. Joe also babysat Monty's our dog. But that's who Joe was. He was inclusive. But he gladly and willingly placed his life at the service of God and his neighbor. He wanted to help. But he could do this well because he loved God first, and he loved with a passion. And that's something that struck me about Joe. His certainty of his identity as a son of a good father. He was assured of his salvation through Christ, and he sought the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and he witnessed that to me as a friend in the way he lived. That's who Joe was, and that Joe could love others because that was his call. That was the strength. That was what made him who he was. And you look at the choices he made, his choices, professions, in the care industry. When he served the youth passionately, and wanted to see them grow, in witnessing to strangers. This all came from a desire to let others know that Jesus loves them too. And, if ever I was doing a sharing or anything like this, Joe just said, "Preach it." He just wanted to hear the gospel preached. Jesus loves you. He loves us all. Boom. That's what Joe would say. For Joe, Jesus was at the center of everything. That's made a huge impact on my life, because Jesus is at the center of my life. Joe was clear where his priorities lay. And his first priority was as a husband. He took that to heart. He took to heart the command to love your wife like Christ loves the church. And he wanted Cat to feel special. and he wanted all marriages to be as blessed as he knew himself to be. I remember on Joe Cat's sixth wedding anniversary, where they, so it's wood, and I didn't know that. He called me up and said, I want to make Cat a herb planter. I want to make it out of a pallet. So I gave him a pallet and he made a herb planter for Cat, and Cat still got it outside. But the thought, you know, he saw and wanted to give something really special to Cat. That was a witness to me about love, commitment in marriage, going that extra mile to make someone feel special. But Joe's passionate about family, about friendship, relationships. He's passionate about people. And he wanted to show love. And for me, he let me know that. You know, he said to me, he said, I love you. And he said, it's the only man who's ever said this to me. And he said, what's your love language? Because I want to know how to learn, I want to learn how to love you more. I mean, wow. But he also, you know, he knew that sometimes relationships and showing love, that means getting dirty and fighting. He wasn't afraid to fight alongside you if your cause was righteous. And he wasn't afraid to fight with you if your cause was not. But Joe was honest in his desire to wrestle. And he actually wanted to box me, quite frankly. Quite often he said, let's go boxing. And we didn't box. But he was honest. His desire and search for the truth. And he was humble enough to listen, to hear your side, and then tell you you're wrong. If you are. But he didn't seek to please. He wanted something more for us. He wanted something more satisfying. So I'll just return to that. They shall know we are Christians by our love. And that for me is what Joe witnessed to me.
Church, just after they'd been married, and you know, everyone's smiling, everyone's so happy, and Joe kind of, just as we were going out for the photos inside of the church, Joe kind of is walking past me, kind of like hugs me, he's like, we're brothers, and it's just like this joy, and I was like, wow, okay, gosh, wow, you know, this was amazing. And at first I was like, you know, is he just saying this? But I came to realise, and this is the same with all the pendants, and especially Joe, is this, there was no in-laws, anything like that, it was family. Joe treated us as family, my family as his family. And that was incredible to me, because I hadn't really seen that before. And I suddenly now had this brother. And it wasn't just, oh, you know, I'm your brother, okay, you know, that's it. He put that into action. And when he said it, he meant it. And so I've got a couple of examples that I can remember of different ways that he was a brother to me, and what that meant for my life. One of the first ways was he, I think of myself as a pretty competitive person, but then I met Joe, and I wanted to compete, but he didn't really let me, and I think that's what brothers do. And one of those times was I remember at a, we were having an Easter egg hunt in our family's garden. And you know, normally you'd be like, okay, let's, you know, make it fair, we'll share out with the Easter eggs, feed all the children, you know, make sure everyone gets an equal amount, but no. Joe was like at the door, and like, you know, we'd all like line up to go out, and he would be at the front. So he was like, I'm having the advantage here. And then as soon as the door would open, you'd be out there getting them. And then, you know, the rest of us would be like, oh, look, there's one over there. And then Joe would kind of like swoop in and go, okay, no mercy from him. And then at the end, you'd collect them all. And I think my mum was like, hey, you know, let's share them out, you know, let's get them. And Joe was like, no, the ones I've collected, you know, they're mine. No one's touching them. And I was just there like, oh my gosh. It was just so much fun. And that's what Joe did. He had fun together. He brought so much joy, so much life. You know, he made all of those Easter egg hunts and all of the times that he came around to our house, all of the times we moved him, just so much more enjoyable because he was there. And he was with us, bringing that light and laughter and joy. And another way that Joe was a brother to me was in the way that he taught me. Joe taught me a number of things. One of them was, always make sure I have my facts right before I say something out loud. Because he always made me aware if I'd said something that was incorrect. And if I disputed that, you could bet that within a couple of seconds he would have his phone out, searching on Google, and within 30 seconds or so he would have a relevant article on the topic proving me wrong and him right. It's one of those things that I've just learned from being around Joe, and his nature to just, you know, if something's not right, he's going to tell you. He's not, you know, letting aside. And he did this with facts, and also if you were talking with him about any topic, even if it was like your opinion, he'd always be like, you know, this is what I think. This is. You know, what I think is the truth because of this, you know, whatever his reasons were. And I learned from that, and I learned actually, you know, I don't want to just say things randomly. I want to actually think about what I'm saying, and, you know, do I actually have reasons for what I'm saying, or am I just kind of like saying random stuff? And, you know, actually hearing Joe kind of challenge me in that way made me realise how much I do just kind of randomly say things and really just try to put more effort into not doing that. And the other way that Joe taught me was he taught me what putting love into action looks like. And Simon mentioned this with this herb planter that he made for their wedding anniversary. And Joe was telling me about this when it was in its kind of like idea creation phase. So he was just kind of formulating this idea, and he was sitting next to me on the sofa, and he was like, Thomas, I've got this amazing idea. And I was like, wow, go on. And so he was telling me about it, and he was so excited. Like, honestly, I was like, what is so exciting about this herb? Like, it's a wooden pallet, okay? But it was the love that he was putting into it and just the joy that he knew would bring Katrina. And that taught me something. I was saying out loud, wow, that's amazing. In my head, I was like, wow, Joe, you're amazing. It was really, really just eye-opening to see that. And I was just so touched by, you know, all of these stories you hear of how he was loving Katrina and loving people and loving everyone. Just continually kind of challenges me to go on and do the same. And the final way that I want to speak about of how Job was a brother to me was in the way that he challenged me. And Job, I think, challenges all of us. And one of the ways that he really challenged me was when he told me a story that part of which Claire mentioned. And the first time I heard it was at Youth Link Weekend Away. And he was speaking to us, and he was telling us about how one time on a bus, this 16-year-old girl stood up and started preaching to the people on the bus. And Joe was like, why? Like, I don't want to do that. That is, like, mortifying. Like, no one speaks on public transport. And so he was asking himself, like, but why, if this 16-year-old girl can stand up and preach to people on the bus, why can't I do it? And then sure enough, as Claire was saying, you know, he was preaching on the buses, he was preaching on the trains, because he couldn't find a reason why he couldn't do that. And knowing Joe, what he would have done is he would have gone through all these reasons. He would have said, okay, what's the reason why I can't do this? And he would have said, well, that's not a good enough reason. And he would have gone for it for all of these different things. He was a very thorough man, you know, he wouldn't have left any stone unturned. And he would have gone through all of it and realized there's still, you know, no reason why I can't do this. Okay, now I have to do it. And that challenged me when I heard that. That was 5 years or so years ago. I don't know how long, probably. And I realized I need to ask myself that same question. With even the small things, just like, why not? One of the ways it impacted me was when I was thinking, you know, maybe I want to do a bit more praying in the morning. And I really didn't want to, because I really liked lying in the morning. And so I remembered this story that Joe told me. And so I asked myself, why not? And I was going through these different reasons. I was like, gosh, I have to get up 5 minutes earlier, you know, I have to sleep earlier or whatever, and I could almost hear Joe laughing at me saying, you're going to have to try harder than that to get a good reason. And so there's just this challenge that remains with me to this day, to not be put off by these initial reasons that come into my head saying, oh no, this might be too hard, this might be too difficult, but really to just say, no, I'm gonna do this because this is what, you know, God's calling me to do. And so as I kind of bring it into kind of close what I've said, Joe really was a brother to me in so many different ways. This is kind of just a snapshot of the way that Joe touched my life and impacted my life. And I'm only one person out of the so many that we, you know, we've heard today and just all these stories that we hear. It's just incredible thinking about how, you know, I know how he's impacted my life, and if I know that's, you know, people have had similar experiences, even, you know, greater experiences, it's just incredible to think about. So yes, Joe was my brother. I love him. And I'm Cindy. Thank you.
Thank you.